Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting introduces you to the candidates of the 2018 election. We've invited each candidate to join us for live interviews on In the Moment between now and November. Today, we welcome Corey Ann Ellis. She's an independent out of District 7, and she's running for state representative. She joins us on the phone now from Brookings. Corey Ann Ellis, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for offering this resource for the voters.
Give us an idea a little bit about your background so we can kind of get to know you a little bit.
Well, a sense of duty to and service to others runs deep for me, and that's why I'm motivated to answer this return call to service as a representative for my community. I'm a prior service Army Reserve mechanic, and I've been active in every community I've lived in as an advocate and community organizer. So this was a natural evolution, and it was just time to stop asking my representatives to take action on behalf of the underrepresented voices in peer, and instead step up to represent my neighbors myself. I'm a first-generation college grad, and I defied the odds of a difficult childhood and earned my MS in physical education. I went on to teach and coach at the collegiate level before starting my own business here in South Dakota. I credit public education and the caring teachers and coaches and administrators for supporting me in creating that opportunity and blazing the path that allowed me to get to where I am now.
So I'm looking at your website, which is corianne.com, and one of the things that I realize about it is you talk about the importance of communication and some of the experience that you have in this area. Why do you think there's a potential there in the State House to really communicate with voters better through digital, communications and digital marketing and social media? Do you think that's a growth area for state lawmakers?
Absolutely. Through my campaign, I'm trying to set an example of how we can do that as candidates and therefore continue that as representatives. I don't think it's enough for our representatives to merely answer emails or phone calls and then to be visible in a parade, which we had yesterday here in Brookings. But I think that we need to utilize other methods. We need to continue to do those things. But our population is growing. Our means of communication is changing. And our representatives need to do what they can to be available, but not just to be available, but to initiate the conversations. We need to stop waiting for our constituents to come to us, and we need to go to them. We need to make ourselves available. We need to make sure that we're approachable. We need to go outside of our normal groups within our communities and talk to all the different variety of people and walks of life that are filling our community. Our community, Brookings, D7 includes Brookings, Brookings Township and Madary Township. And we have a very diverse community. So I think it's important, specifically in our area, to get out there and be available to the people.
The numbers of South Dakota independent voters are growing rapidly. You're running as an independent. Tell me a little bit about that transition in the state as you see it and why you chose to run as an independent.
I chose to run as an independent because I have always been a registered independent. I don't believe that either party fully answers what I want from a party. And I think as a centrist independent, I should probably clarify that. I'm not an independent on either side. I'm a centrist independent. And I think centrist independents as a whole have an ability to bring the two parties together rather than continuing to polarize and push things apart. If we have a small group of independents that get elected to the legislature, then we can create what's called a fulcrum strategy. And those independents can act as a party in the middle that grabs the good and the bad and brings those goods from both parties together to create solutions that are going to be more beneficial to more people. And I think that being beholden to the people and not being beholden to a party gives the independents the ability to come from a different perspective without influence other than from their constituents.
As you walk around and listen to voters, whether it's in a parade or whether it's through communications online, what are you hearing from them about some of the issues that voters in District 7 feel are top of mind?
education is one that's very top of mind. We recently just had a vote during the primary to have an opt-out for helping to fund our public education system. It would be the second opt-out for our district, and that would be very cumbersome. Our first opt-out is already the seventh largest opt-out in the state, so you can imagine how big a second opt-out would be and what that would do to property owners, property taxes, and rent, for that matter, in our district. And we need to come up with a better solution for that. Public education is the keystone to building a thriving community, and we need to fully fund it from the legislative level. We need to stop creating formulas and restrictions on our districts that don't allow them to serve their people properly, especially without those formulas and schemes not being financially supported. So that would be the number one thing that I think we are really concerned about in this community.
How do you see, because as we watch the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the sales tax increase and some of the challenges as we watch lawmakers sort of grapple with that, do you see solutions that they didn't see? Do you think that it's different now going forward? For what reasons? What are some of the legislative fixes as you see it?
Well, while the Blue Ribbon Task Force did create a formula that allowed our teachers to not be the lowest paid in the country, it also created very big problems for some of our school districts. We actually have two school districts in our district, Sioux Valley and Brookings. So I have been talking to educators, administrators from both of those districts, and the formulas are actually cumbersome, and they have to redo contracts multiple times throughout the year. I don't know if you're familiar, but money that is used for buildings and supplies is different than money that is used for paying the employees. And I think we need to do a better job. We need to revisit that formula. And when we say that we're going to raise sales tax or allocate certain things for education, we need to do it. Our sales tax, our lottery money, every single cent that we said was going to go to education needs to go to education. No excuses.
As we look at the changes now with South Dakota v. Wayfair and the Supreme Court and the victory that the state won, in that there are some, you know, changes to that funding formula and moving forward that are sort of still being worked out. Are you optimistic that there might be some adjustments, or do you see as a bigger fix that, like, we need to, I don't want to say start from scratch, but do you think that it needs to be started at a different level, or do you think just tweak it as it goes forward?
I believe that our policy, the way that the United States creates policy in general, can not allow for fluctuations. And we know that the way that the communities grow, things evolve, things change. So I support policy that allows for change and growth. I don't think it has to be black or white. So I would support a policy or a distribution of those funds that allows for us to adapt as we see fit. And I do think that the additional sales tax from that Supreme Court finding is going to be great to have. And I would love to see that pumped right back into education. I think that would be the best thing for us to do with that. And I'm hopeful for that. But that's just one thing that we need to do. About half of our general budget funding comes from outside of the state. So we need to know, we need to figure out what we can do as a state to fund our states without requiring so much federal funding. And that money may need to be used elsewhere, but I would like to see it come back into education, because I think that is going to help us through compounding, decreasing the brain drain, getting more of the good employees here. We have workforce issues. Let's educate those students and then keep them here.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Corey Ann Ellis. You can find her online at coryann.com. That's CoryAnn.com. And she's running as an independent from District 7 for the State House of Representatives. And Corey Ann, in our remaining minute here, let's close with some of your thoughts on open government and integrity that you've laid out as why that's important to you moving forward as a candidate.
I think it's important to increase our level of participation in our political system in this democracy, is that we have to have government available to the people. It cannot be only accessible to politicians, legislators, or to those in the legal system. We need to make all of the processes easily accessible to the people. And I think with that, we're going to have increased participation. And participation can be at any level. I would love to see our voter registration go up and our voter turnout go up. I would love to see people getting faith back in the system and being excited about politics. Personally, I like to watch what's happening in political races like some people like to watch the Vikings and the Packers. So I would love to see that enthusiasm within politics, because politics have the ability to shape the way that we live in our communities. Legislators have the ability to impact our lives every day, and we should have an open way to have our voices heard and to participate in that process.
Corianne Ellis, thank you so much for joining us on the phone today from Brookings. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having us.